Askwin.
This call is being recorded.
Welcome to Askwin, everyone. I don't know how I'm so lucky that I get two amazing women back to back. The first one was Helen of She Compass, and Natalie caught some of that interview, and I said to Natalie I would send her that interview when it's out. And so Natalie is behind Helen, and Natalie has another amazing story that if you guys thought you needed to grab the tissues for Helen's story, oh boy, the tissue box isn't going away yet. But Natalie has a interesting story in her own right, and she has recently published a book, and she just told me last night that book won a launch. So I'm going to let Miss Natalie take it away, and you guys will be fascinated. Buckle your seatbelts, everyone, because this is another fascinating journalist story that needs to be told. And so I'm going to let Natalie take it away.
Hello, how are you doing, Gwen? I would like to thank you, first of all, and trust me, I don't know how your parents chose your name, but you are a winner. And it really fits you, the name, because you are just doing everything with glory. And I would like to congratulate you for having this wonderful show. And I say hello to all the listeners, wherever they are listening, wherever they are in the States, in Australia, in Canada, wherever they are, everywhere in England. And I thank you for having me. It's such a privilege to be with you on the show and to see women like you who have the strength to defy everything which is bad and to turn the things that they have in their lives into beautiful creations and to build things and to be inspiring other women. That's why I think that we have a lot in common. So, do you want me to introduce myself to them? Or
I would.
How does it go?
Introduce yourself, and then we'll talk about the book.
Sure. Well, I've been a TV entertainer and a journalist, actress, a marketing manager of three economic magazines in Lebanon and the Arab world for over 17 years. I'm Armenian-Lebanese, born and raised in Lebanon. And 10 years ago, I just left my whole life behind and decided to follow my heart and come to Canada because I fell in love with someone, a Canadian Lebanese. So I left everything that I have worked for to become, to have my place under the spotlights over there. And I think at some point I just decided to start writing, not as a journalist, but when you're all alone and you're in a new country, trust me, sometimes people like us who live as a public figure, who reach goals in their lives, they do not achieve them easily. And you live, you experience, and you see things that others don't. So I decided to start writing my pain, my emotions, and everything that I think should be told about women in Lebanon and the Arab world. And that's how I started writing. And it became a book, and I, of course, published it. And last week, on March 12th, the book became one of the 11th finalists of International Forward Indies 2019 Book Awards in adult fiction categories. So, for multicultural genre. And the thing is that I wasn't expecting to happen like this, but it's amazing how I can see that, I mean, the West and the readers are embracing the ideas and the taboos that I'm talking about women over there. Because when we talk about disabilities, Wayne, we do not talk them only about the ones that we have physical disabilities, that we can use them to make ourselves stronger. No, sometimes we have spiritual disabilities. We can be so much broken, just like I was, while I was trying to shine and trying to be a star, which was my dream over there for years, that they could leave a spot, some kind of scar that could, it can be healed, but every time you look to it, you will know that it's there. And these things, they cannot be just vanished from your life until you start talking about them. So as the first female public figure from Lebanon and the Arab world who lived and experienced, I decided to write a novel to overcome my spiritual disabilities, my own demons, face them, and not to look at myself as a victim, but as a woman who is strong enough now by the love of her husband and embraced by everybody around me, like you and everyone, to write and not to talk only about my experience, but also the experience of so many celebrities and women who go through sexual harassment and sexual assault, and they go through career-destroying threats. I'm talking about things that happen in TV and movie industry all the time, and we see this today, which is happening everywhere. I don't know if I'm lucky enough that I'm the first woman from there, from Lebanon and Middle East, that I published the book at the same time that Me Too movement started. A couple of months after I published it, I was already writing without knowing that a movement like this will be out there. But I think that when we have spiritual disabilities, it cannot be healed alone. We need the help of others, and in order to become a better version of ourselves, we have to raise our voice as women, because we are a new empire, I think, now, and we are building this empire on very strong basis, the basis of courage and basis of struggling and even the basis of pain that we go through. And this empire, I mean, the world has to accept us for who we are, and that's why I called my book Masks, because we have to remove our masks, because it's very important not to have this kind of broken souls, because a broken soul can never let you live your life in peace, and that's what I'm trying to do now.
Now, Natalie, I have a question for you. I want you to tell, number one, I want you to tell everyone how many languages you actually speak, and this is fascinating. And I want you, because you and I are in the same camp of journalism, I want you to explain to everyone what it's like being a journalist in your home country. And the reason why you guys know Natalie's home country is because, ever heard of a little TV show called The Kardashians? Thank you very much. And we won't get into that, but they are just making fools of themselves, and that's why journalism is interesting show over here. I thought of a bad word, but I phrased it like a journalist should, and Natalie knows the word I thought of. It begins with a S, ends with a T. So you guys can figure that out. But I want you, Natalie, to tell people what the differences are and how many languages you speak.
Yeah. Well, yeah, thank you for asking that, because for me, English is my fourth language. I speak Armenian, which is my mother tongue, because I am the granddaughter of Armenian genocide survivors, and I was born in Lebanon, and I was born and I started speaking Armenian and listening Armenian from my parents. So this is my main mother tongue. And then, of course, because they were the survivors of the Ottoman Empire, so the grandparents, they used to speak still Turkish. So it was the second language that I spoke. And the third language is Arabic because I was born over there. And when I started to go to school, I had to learn and study two programs. One program is the program of Lebanon, which is for the country, the official country of Lebanon, and we have to give official exams to be accepted, our degrees and diplomas and the certificates, I mean, in universities and colleges. And the second one, we had to, as Armenians, study our own program, which is related to Armenia. So I studied both. So, and we studied Armenian, Arabic, and English. And later on, I studied philosophy for 1 year and then changed from philosophy to English literature. I taught English, math, and science at St. Joseph Sisters, Antonin Sister School, while I was still studying. And then I headed for TV to become an actress. In journalism, in Lebanon, it's very different than it is here. For example, the way that we ask questions, it doesn't matter how educated you are, but they train you in a way to know how to promote a guest. It's amazing what I see in the media over here because they are so like happy land, and I feel like everybody's in Disneyland. It's like fairy godmothers. It's like very beautiful everything. Over there, it's not like that. People are scared of the journalists because we are trained in a way when we study, and a lot of people, they would love to be on the screen, and I think that I am one of the few who were lucky to be there, and nothing came without a price, of course. I had to pay a lot of prices, step over my dignity, and I lost a lot of things that I was broken at some time, and I was very egocentric because to become a journalist over there is very hard because if you are a little bit okay looking, then you will just want to go there, and everybody wants to be on the screen. But for us, journalism, it's a way of thinking. It's not to ask questions to the guest. It's how to be in the mind of the listeners, to be in the mind of the viewers, and from there to ask the questions. Because we don't ask, for example, oh, what did you eat for breakfast? And where do you take your dog for a walk? Because viewers don't care for these things. Because
No, they don't.
even the mentality over there, we live day by day stress life that we have seen. Civil war. We live in a country where a girl is worth as much as her virginity. Women, if they talk about divorce and you're divorced, you're like a labeled person. You have like scarlet letter, you know, the novel
Yeah,
that
it's
they
called
was
Letta,
adapted to a
labeled
movie. That's how they
you.
look at you. So in this how can I say, chaos, you cannot just bring out happy things all the time. You can have funny way of talking to guests, but also there has to be an intellectual part. You always do it. I mean, either has to be in regarding the politics, just to put the guests in a situation to bring out things that guests are very interested to learn about, and at the same time, to there's big competition in journalism over there. I mean, my life was threatened once, twice. My car was broken. I mean, they broke the glasses because I was talking against a singer, and I wasn't talking anything bad. As a journalist, I was giving my opinion. And the next thing, when I left the TV station and I went down to leave home, my driver tells me, don't come down. I said, what? What's wrong? And I said, he said, the mirrors, everything, the glasses, everything is broken. I mean, in order to be a good journalist, there are challenges for us there. I mean, we are not there only to make the celebrities feel happy when they are on screen. We are there to bring something out of them, to show the viewers or the listeners things that they don't know about. I mean, not only scandals just to make them to crush them. No, it's not the point. It's very challenging to be a public figure, but it's more challenging to welcome guests. And I mean, we don't do things funny just to make people laugh, because people have been through so much over there. You can see the worries in their eyes. I mean, ever after 65, my father is in his late 70s and he still works. There is no government to help them. I mean, there are so many worries in their lives that they need things where is depth in it, where is like intellectual things. And I think we as the media, we have responsibility towards people, and we teach them. And the thing is that, which I see very shocking, when I see television and I see the media, what they talk about Middle East, they talk about Lebanon, they just say, do you wear hijab? I say, I'm Armenian. Say, oh, what's that? I mean, we learn everything about the West over there. We have to learn your literature. We have to learn geography, etc., etc. Plus, we learn everything that we have over there. Plus, I learn everything which we have in Armenia. But the thing is that the media is ruining and it's breaking all the bridges between these countries. And because I think that everything which we don't know about, we fear. And whatever we fear, we're angry at. And when we are angry at things and we fear things, we hate it. Because we don't take the time to analyze. People don't have the time. Even here, they just wake up and they go to work, everything, blah, blah, blah. It's just running, running, running. So there comes the role of media. What are you doing? And how are you manipulating? Or you are teaching, inspiring people? And that's a big risk. And that's a responsibility.
Please, Natalie.
And we should know.
Please, Natalie. Let's inspire people to live their dreams. And that's why I let you go on that little bit of a tangent. Because I wanted, and I asked you, how is it different from being over here as a journalist? And I know journalism was your old job.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's a interesting time to be a journalist over here. And it's certainly an interesting time to be going back to journalism school. And I'm like, yeah, do I really have to do this? And I'm just carving my own path in the journalism sea of journalists. And I'm trying not to make a SHIT show for other journalists behind me and before me, like you.
You know, the thing is that I want to ask you, I mean, why journalism? Why did you choose journalism?
Why did I
choose... Now I'm asking you the question. Why journalism?
Why journalism? Because you're up in Canada, but you see the U.S. news. I don't know. Well, first of all, I lost my mom to meningitis/aplanemiasm. And when she died, I decided to make a whole new plan for my life in the ICU hospital room. And for those of you who've ever visited a person in the ICU, you know that's the scary place. That's death row, practically. And so I decided to make a whole new plan once I knew that she wasn't coming out of a mentally induced coma. Again, they put her in a mentally induced coma twice, and she got meningitis, and that was a shit show and a half. And because the doctors didn't know what to do. The doctors literally didn't know what to do, and still, they haven't admitted to us. It will be nine years in August that still they haven't admitted to us, my dad, myself, and my stepmom, what exactly happened to my biological mom. So I made this plan to go back to write my book and go back to journalism school when she was done. Well, fast forward, when Donald Trump was on the political campaign, he made the stupid remark that he started making Fun of a Journalist with cerebral palsy. Thank you very much. And that just sent me over the edge. The next thing I know, I'm Googling journalism schools as fast as my fingers would type. And it's like, really? And so that's why I chose journalism. My original degree is in education, and now I'm completely doing a 180 and going back to school for something I love, journalism and writing.
Wow. Amazing. So you win always, just like your name.
Yes. And
how do you choose your guests?
I told someone this the other day, and the person started laughing at me because I have a really easy method of choosing my guest. I just say, can I interview you? 9 times out of 10, they say yes. Today I got an email saying I cancel the interview, don't ever contact me again. And this is from an interviewee that doesn't want to be interviewed. And sometimes you win, other days you lose as a journalist. And my assistant goes, well, should I ask why? I said, it's her loss, not ours. I have decided I want strong candidates on my podcast that want to be put in the spotlight, that the book author that wants to be put in the spotlight, not the person that just wants to say, oh, I've been on Ask When, because Ask When has 1,000 episodes, well, over that now, and is listened in international countries too. And so I want the people that want, that have something to say and want to get out there and want to promote their own mission on my podcast. And I also want to be the voice for the voiceless in 2019/2020 and help those who may not ever get the spotlight, who may not ever see the spotlight. I want to help those with a disability and those who are book authors like you and those who just have a story to tell and need to tell it.
That's amazing. By the way, I should, I forgot, I don't have to forget to say thank you very much for Danielle, because she's always like helping and informing, and she's amazing, your assistant. My best regards to her, too, to Danielle.
She is. And she will, people say to me all the time, it's so funny, Natalie, can I have your Danielle? I've gotten that a couple of times now, and I'm like, no, she's mine. I wish she would hold this.
Yes, she does an amazing job. And by the way, you were just saying a minute ago about win and lose, that sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. As a journalist and even in life, it is important sometimes to lose, because for me, losing is when you give up. And when you don't lose, you don't learn. And when you lose and then you win after that, that is the sweet glory. So yeah. If you win all the time, you will not know how it tastes, the glory of winning. So I think for me, there is no losing in life for people who are ambitious like you, because being ambitious means that we are learning. For me, each step that we take, and it's not okay, and we have to make a turn, it means that we're learning something, that it's not the right thing to do. But that does not mean that we are losing. So I think that we're just experiencing, and there are lessons in life that we learn from in order to win. So that's why I think that
and
we win.
I want to say I'm going to spill the beans, Natalie, on you here just for a couple minutes. Natalie said to me when I said, oh, by the way, I'm going back to journalism school, She goes, "You already a journalist. You are just polishing your craft, and you're getting that piece of paper just to prove to everyone that you have the journalism background." And it's so funny that you said that, because this week in class, actually starting last week, we've done interviews with strangers, essentially, and our teacher made us pick strangers to interview and ask prepared questions and do all that. I told my teacher, I said, "Can I use my podcast?" So I went into the discussion boards and said, "Oh, I got my interview." People were like, "When you did what? You got a top selling book author, and you got the person who I'm using self-published 25 books. She's a crime and serial writer." And they're like, "You did what? You did what in 2 seconds flat?" And I said, "This is my job outside this classroom. I'm a journalist at heart." And some of these students are like, "I can't decide who to interview. I can't decide my questions." I'm like, "Well, listen to me, and I will guide you through it." And the one of the students actually got mad at me for using my podcast as a educational tool. He goes to my teacher, and of course my teacher wrote back and said, "Wynn contacted me via email. Now, could you please knock it off?" And he goes, "I don't think that's very smart of Wynn to be using her podcast as an educational tool." And he goes, "Wynn contacted me. Calm down." And so it's interesting to see what these other kids who are not, what these other adults slash kids are not used to doing interviews. It's interesting to see how they treat a self-taught journalist, me.
Because journalism is like, it's a talent for me. I mean, it's a way of thinking. And with time, if you learn, you will just be having progress in your way of thinking. But you cannot just put the seeds of journalism, the techniques, in someone who does not have special points of views. I mean, I watch TV all the time. It's beautiful. I love watching TV, and I see the shows they have, but they are all similar. I mean, I just change the channels. I see different guests, different TV show hosts, and they're doing similar things. I mean, for me, it's like, there's no challenge. And for me, even when I wrote the book, I mean, Masks, and now it's one of the 11 finalists internationally in Forward Indies, it's like, for me, we have a responsibility when we are just talking to people, because it's a responsibility, because we have to nourish people's minds, and we have the responsibility, because we are like school for them. The media controls everything. People watch media. Why do you think people are scared from people in Middle East or whoever speaks Arabic? They don't know. They don't even know if half of them are Christians, half of them are Muslims. Muslims are what? It has nothing to do with this. They don't even know, because they just see what is on the screen. That's why, I mean, there's a big chance in my book to be adapted into a TV series. And that's what I'm working on now. And at the same time, I'm a Toastmaster, a motivational speaker. And I want to inspire women. As a Toastmaster, I started with them with this international organization. They are amazing. And, of course, my regards to them at Laval Achievers. And it's like we have to do change in the world. And journalism is the beginning. And to show things that – because sometimes media is just politics. Media shouldn't be politics. Politics is politics. We have people who are specialized in politics that they give the news, or they have politicians. But when you are doing entertainment, when you are inviting guests over who are singers or actresses, I don't know, I mean painters, etc., any artists, there has to be a different spice in questions, and the questions should, they're like monotonous. And now I just see like, okay, they don't have any questions to say. They start having games. I mean, we're not children. We're not at Disneyland. I don't know if I'm wrong. Just correct me. You just told me to make to tell the difference between the journalism here and there. They were not like that. We have fun. They were very fashion. They're like very up to date. But it's like we have to do our homework very well. It's not like spontaneously questions coming into our mind and the questions getting out of from their answers. No, we prepare. We work. We know what we're talking about, and we're educated. We cannot be on screen because I was an actress. I cannot be on screen as a journalist. I'm on screen because even though I don't have a journalism degree, but I have a degree in literature, I studied philosophy. So I can be there because education is important, and it is important. And I think that that's how you see a lot of people, I don't know, they just fear the unknown. And I just put the question mark. I mean, why media is so happy or trying to look happy, but I'm not saying to talk about sad things all the time, but why couldn't we be serious when we're just talking about with any guests, and we are being serious only when we are criticizing or talking about a tragedy which is happening somewhere in the other side of the world. That's when they are being serious. I'm not saying to be serious like to have a face with no smile on. No, I'm talking about the way of the questions. And I think that it just make people more interested. And we have to have variety, more variety. And even with our accents and even with our way of life, for people to be on the television screen in English, it has to come from different cultures, because from different cultures it entertains people and brings more variety and it nourishes the mind. That's what I think. That's my opinion.
I definitely agree. And watching these kids, well, I'm going to say this slightly because my school listened to this podcast, and we're putting together a podcast for them as well, and we're slowly but surely working on that. But it's interesting when these kids got assigned this assignment, how they all shuddered like little bugs and ran away, except the one with a disability who does this on a daily basis. The rest of my classmates shuddered and ran away, and then they couldn't decide on their interview subjects, or they decided and made phone calls and got it done. But instead of them accepting the assignment, they all shuddered and ran away like bugs because they didn't want to put themselves in the spotlight. And even though it's been shared with the class and not the traditional media, I'm like, you guys need, if this is your true calling, you guys need to figure out how to interact with people. Because I'm not in class with journalism students. I'm in class with 50% fashion styling, and there's a photographer showing in there too. And so this is not, journalism is not their degrees, but at the same time, they don't think they'll use journalism in their own degrees.
I agree with you totally, but in order to interact with people, they have to give chance to people who have different kind of experiences. Because for me, it's a way that your mind is triggered. I mean, let me give you an example. For example, if you tell me, how was your childhood? I would say I have seen Civil War. I have lived in an underground place with my parents and with people around us. We don't know who they are. With no shower for a month and a half, and it's canned tuna, and we had candles, no electricity, nothing, and there were rats and mice and cockroaches. I lived a childhood like that, and it doesn't mean that other people have to live like that too. No, but I'm saying that from each country, from every culture, when people just come and get the chance to promote their ideas, their experiences in a positive way, and they turn these experiences into strength to inspire others that how blessed they are that they haven't been in this in these situations, and they will be just grateful for the life they have. And these kind of programs are interesting. I mean, I can see a program on television, I'm not going to name it, and I change channels, I see another TV station, something like that, but with other guests, and then another station. Come on. I mean, how many questions can I ask?
Can I interject here between CNN, MSNBC, they're all the same SHIT show. Yep. And it drives me nuts. It drives me nuts. They're all covering the same topics, and let's bring a little variety and educate people.
And the thing is that we have all this, I mean, media, rather than bringing people together, is ruining everything. I write in my book, Masks, in my novel, I'm trying to open as to be the female figure. The character is like, I named the protagonist in my story, in the narrative, in the novel, Anna. And a lot of people started criticizing, why did you call her Anna? Why did you call her Anna? I said, Anna, in Arabic, it means I am. Because if I was going to use it in Armenian means I am yes. So I couldn't name her yes, because everybody would say yes in English, because I'm writing the novel in my fourth language. So I preferred saying it in Arabic. So it means Anna, I am, because she's based on the feelings or the things I have experienced or lived, and the pragmatic way of life that I've been through. And so I wrote like that, not because I'm a hero. I'm just a person who lived, had the chance to be on the screen. But the thing is that, imagine, we had days that you could go into the studio having three cameras, and they were like, during the break, we have another event. We have to take away the two cameras. You have to work with one camera. It's happening on the spot, live.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, it's, and we do it.
Fun.
And we do it. I mean, why? Because we welcome people, and even they attack us and they argue with us. Nothing is just prepared. Everything is just there. We don't do that as gossip. We do that because even people need to be entertained. People need to know facts. People need to know new things, experience, and things that they wouldn't be expecting. I mean, I could turn on the TV and know what is going to be the next question. Why should I watch a show like that?
I could too. I could turn on MSNBC and know what the next question is. And the fact that our president hasn't done anything about the New Zealand thing is just disgraceful. For those of you who don't know, speaking of diversity, there was a huge massacre in New Zealand last Friday. And it happened March of 2019, for those of you who are listening to this in the future, because podcasts are evergreen. But our president hasn't gone down there, hasn't done anything. He's a buffoon, quite frankly, and I'll leave it at that. But our president hasn't done anything. The Prime Minister of New Zealand has stepped up. And I have a podcasting friend in New Zealand, in New Zealand. Last week I was dealing with her and her summit, and I didn't catch the beginning of a summit, but she looked, when I saw the last time on the video, she looked tired. She's like, I'm done with bringing peace to the world, and here we are in my home country dealing with a mask, yet the news in the U.S. hasn't done anything yet to encourage people. They just want to move on to the next story.
Well, I think that the media everywhere, they have a responsibility just to talk. And, you know, as I said before, people fear the unknown and they hate. And that's very sad when, because, I mean, I look at my husband and I see, I mean, he speaks Arabic and he's Catholic Arabic, Lebanese. And a lot of people like tell me, oh, did you drive in Lebanon? They don't even know the difference between Saudi Arabia, for example, and Lebanon or Syria, etc. It's not their fault. If they didn't go to school, the media, I mean, even if you're doing an entertaining show, you can just put out a word or do something. Even the TV series, I just watch a lot of TV series. They just put scenes from Lebanon. I look, oh, my God, where is that? I don't even know because nobody drives cars like that. They just show the ugly. I'm not saying everything is pretty over there. I'm not saying so. Nothing everywhere is perfect. But it's very sad that the media can play a role. Well, I don't know where to put, I mean, my question mark and whom to blame and who's the one to be blamed is me. I think that one journalist is following the other and the other and the other, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
That's how it's like, it's a way, it has become a typical way and stereotype. And that's very, I mean, disturbing. Rather than changing things, rather than bringing a bridge, making a bridge, because we're all human beings, and either we're, in the West or in the East, wherever we are in the world. First of all, we are women. Human beings, and then we are women, and we are very passionate human beings. We are very sensitive, and they wouldn't care what's happening over there because they say, why would we care? I say, if the media puts it in a way, you should care because you should be thankful for what you have over here.
Yes.
Then they have a topic to talk about. It's not about showing, because if I was here and somebody would show me another place of the world, what something happening, I would just be sympathizing with the situation for a second, and then I would say, it's okay. But when I would just see a journalist who is just talking about this specific situation in a certain country and then bringing forth our blessings in Canada, in the States, in Australia, in England, in wherever we are, that we have more comfortable lives than they do over there, then they have a topic because women will be interested. It doesn't mean that we're only showing them what's happening over there. At the same time, we are helping and encouraging women or people and the new generation, all the generations, to cherish what they have and not to look for the things they don't.
Unfortunately,
it's not happening. I don't know if you agree.
I definitely agree, and the media just sways everything known to man. And I'm trying, people have asked me why journalism and why not you go into newspaper journalism, and people have asked me my opinion on journalism because I'm a journalist. I'm just polishing my craft, going to school, and then I'll get the piece of paper and be done with it. But people have asked me, why did you not go into newspaper journalism? And I said, no way, I can't. I'm a human being and I can't do this. Fashion journalism, on the other hand, I can do, and it's something I can do independently without my aides being involved, because I like to talk. Now, if you like to talk, like Natalie and I do, journalism will be the perfect thing for you. If you're a quiet mouse, journalism is not the perfect thing. But we are now raising the next generation of journalists to be cookie-cutter journalists, whereas me, I come out full guns blazing, and I say, look, I have a disability. Here I am getting a journalism degree. Deal with it. And we are, yeah, we're raising the next generation of journalism to follow the herd and be the cookie-cutter journalists. And so my last question for you, Miss Natalie, and then I'm going to ask, where can people find you? And then you can ask me a couple more questions if you wish, is how do we stop the next generation of journalists behind me being a cookie-cutter journalist?
I think that we have to start somewhere. And people like you, when they take the first step and start doing evolution like this and believe that there has to be a change, the faith itself that there can be change, that's the start of the change. And people like me who write a book, Masks, where I say, remove your masks, women, and be happy. Happiness is not in fame. Happiness is not in power. Happiness is not in money. It's in love, and it exists. And trust me, it does, because though it's a beautiful novel, it's a little bit erotic, so if they're under 15 years old, they should not read. But I think that journalism starts with people like you, people like me, because I'm now an author, but I didn't have a chance here to have a TV show on the television in English. But I think that people like us, one by one, others will follow us, because trust me, journalists are nice people. I have a lot of people who interviewed me from United States. They're so sweet, so nice. It's a stereotype that they are being taught from one generation to another, as if it processes in their mind. This is the way they have to do it. It's nice. They are sweet people, but we can go beyond that. But the thing is that how we are going to take the extra mile. This extra mile starts with people like you.
Yeah.
Starts people like me. Starts people like others who determine that it's not enough to entertain only people. Otherwise, we could just watch sitcoms or comedy movies. It's good to have guests and have fun, but it's not enough. Just we have to do things that tears in human mind, as much as we bring laughter and it's healthy. Do you know that sadness and tears, they affect human mind more than laughter do? I don't know why, because even if you just watch a comedy movie, you just go to bed and you're happy, right? But when you watch a sad movie, let's say, you'll think about it. Even next day, oh my God, what kind of movie was that? I'm not saying to make a drama out of every show, but let us have some serious issues to talk about with people, even the singers, the artists, everybody famous. Let us show the serious part of them. Let them inspire people, because even the new generation, they see them like idols. Let these idols talk, but who will make them talk? Journalists. And
exactly.
I think that Rome was not built in a day. But with people like you, and it will be starting to be built stone by stone, and it will just build. It will be built, and I think that it is the right proverb to use it at the right place. And you're doing an amazing job, and I congratulate you for your courage. I congratulate you for your confidence, for your strength. You're doing an amazing job. You're bringing forth people who have pain, physical, spiritual, who who have messages to inspire others. And this is amazing. And this is amazing. And you are an example to others that we do not see what we don't have, what we lack in life. We do look at the things that we have and we cherish them and we turn them into strength and use them against all obstacles, hindrances in life.
Well, thank you, Natalie, for saying that. I'm trying to do my part. I'm actually trying to bring good light back to journalism because someone asked me on this podcast live, they said to me, this was a journalist who was really into whiskey, and Monk Gillespie asked me publicly, he goes, why journalism? Why did you decide to go back to journalism school? And I said, to prove everything wrong. And he said, I told my kids, his kids, that he wouldn't pay for any degree but journalism school. And I said, well, that's your loss. We just lost two journalists because you wouldn't pay for their degree. But at the same time, you guys are gaining another journalist here slowly but surely, me, who's going to stomp you like bugs if you come to me and say, why journalism one more time? Because I'm here to prove everyone wrong that a woman with a physical disability who has ataxia spastic cerebral palsy could become a journalist, and not the cookie cutter one either.
And that is strength itself. That's why you inspire women. That's why I say in my book, when I talk about women who are broken, you can't stand back on your feet. It doesn't matter how life breaks you. Life will try to break you. But as long as you breathe, as long as you have persistence and you have a message, then you cannot be broken. And we are here for a reason. And as I say before, people who have the talents to talk, everybody can talk. But if you have not an inspirational message, nobody will listen to you, right? I mean, you can watch cartoons, they're talking.
Yeah.
So I think that you have a message and you have this persistence, then we need journalists like you. I don't know if you guys need journalists like me here in the
yes,
West.
Yes, we do. We do. We need you too, Natalie. Yes, we do. We need you too, Natalie, because we need to diversify the journalism field and knock it off with cookie cutter journalists. And I will squish you like a bug. I'm not kidding. When you ask me one more time, why journalism and when? And I'm sick and tired of telling that story because I have a message. I want to be the voice for the voiceless. And yeah, Natalie has a message with her book, Mask. Please go buy it off of Amazon. I want to have Natalie tell me she got a spike in downloads because of you guys. And Mask, I haven't had a chance to read Mask, but I have been given a galley copy. Natalie sent me a galley copy. And when my life settles down right now, it's a little bit up in the air by now. And CP got in the way of journalism big time. And so, well, I shouldn't say not CP itself, but people working with CP got in the way of my journalism big time this week. But we're slowly but surely figuring that out. And just letting you know, I'm safe. I'm fine. I'm just a little flat out right now. And needless to say, I can't read Natalie's book. But when I do, and I'm not kidding, you guys, when Natalie first called me, we talked for over an hour on.
More? It was over 2 hours.
Over 2 hours. No, I had to cut you off to go eat. And so,
yeah, we even talked about Natalie Wood, remember?
Yeah,
like my
we
name
did.
Is
we did. And your name is Sagula. And if you want to figure out who Natalie is named after, just go Google Natalie
Rastokhin
Woodcase on Google, and you'll find out. I actually know her boyfriend at the time, and her R.J. Wagner, who's a famous actor here in America, and he was devastated when she died. When she did the boating accident, he was just devastated. Now he's married to Joe St. John, who I still know, and they know who I am, and my mother, my biological mom, had a friend who was very close to those two, Jill St. John and R.J. Wagner. And then when I found out that Natalie Wood was R.J. Wagner's girlfriend, I'm like, yowza. And then when I found out Natalie was named after Natalie Wood, I said,
yeah,
I have a story for you, because...
yeah, I told you, and you said, oh, I know Robert Wagner. I'm like, oh, my God, I have to tell my dad, because he was so much in love with her acting and her beauty. He called me after her. I mean, I'm not pretty as she was.
Yeah.
May she rest in peace. But she was amazing. She was amazing. And I was like, we talked about it, I remember, and the journalism.
Yeah.
And so if they want, they can just find my book, Masks, Natalie Rastokhin, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and eBay, Angus & Robertson. They just have to put Masks and Natalie, N-A-T-A-L-Y. That's how I write my name.
Yeah.
So Rastokhin.
And do you have any more questions for me as we try
to
deal up?
What is the thing you fear most in your life, Wynn?
What is the thing I feel? Meaning what?
You fear.
Oh, I feel?
Yes.
No, people know this if they listen to Peter Chaplin's interview. Peter Chaplin was one of my exquisite journalism teachers, and I get the privilege to have him again because I kind of messed up in this class, and so next semester I'm retaking the class, which is okay, and I'll pay attention more. And so my biggest fear, and I told him this too, my biggest fear is getting a job in journalism and walking into a newsroom and them not accepting me for me because of my ataxia, spastic cerebral palsy. Problems with cerebral palsy, the ataxia part is my nervous system. So if you say boo to me and I'm not paying attention, I will jump off a foot. The spastic cerebral palsy is my gait and how my movements. So I look like I'm half drunk when I walk. So my biggest fear is when I walk into a newsroom the first day and they won't accept me because I have a disability and I have to prove myself as a journalist like I've been doing over the years. And now in journalism school, I have to prove myself because I'm coming in to this journalism degree as a self-taught journalist, and these other students are looking at me like she's nuts because she does this on a daily basis, and yet we have to do all these homework assignments, and we can't figure out who to interview yet. Wynn can figure out in 2 seconds flat. Trust me, I have a physical disability, and I need help with those homework assignments, where they don't. They get the fear of interviewing people. And trust me, I had that fear, but now I'm over that fear. And that's why I think these kids are running away like little ladybugs, because they don't want me in their classes, the self-taught journalist, because I know what I'm talking about.
And I think that that's, when you say this, I think that you should have no fear. Because when I see your courage and they will see your mind as I do, they will not look on to those details. Because journalism is so far, far, far than that. It's not what you have. It's what you can give.
Yeah.
And from what I see, you have a lot to give to the world. So it means that I think that you should just conquer that fear. And for me, that fear should be vanished in your mind because you have nothing to fear because you have a lot to give.
Well, thank you for saying that. And so do you. You're an old woman's mission of empowerment. And I am on the mission to get people off their asses and get some jobs and be the inspirational lights that I know they are. But that's why I'm so passionate about self-publishing and publishing books. And let me tell you, Natalie wrote her book via hand in a notebook, and then she was so afraid of handing it to an editor. Editor took it to technology, and when she went to accept the editing changes, she goes, "What's this? I'm not."
Yeah, my editor. Yeah, my best regards to my editor, to David Antrobus. He sent it to me. I don't even know because I wrote everything with paper and pens and pencils from $1 on papers, yeah. papers. You know, old school. And then I typed and I sent it to him. And he was so nice, and he's amazing. I mean, my editor, David, I say, "What's this?" He says, "Click." I say, "Click where?" Because I don't know the software. And he's like, he says, "There, the review." And everything, like, on the right side was red, you know, the things that he just corrected. I'm like, "What am I going to do now?" He says, "Accept." I say, "How do I do that?" It was challenging. And I think that if I could write a book in my fourth language, Masks, and I'm working on my second book. Now I'm going to have my book launch in, I'm launching the book in January the 5th here in Quebec. I wish you were here with us. At we're going to do it at Galerie Dib. And the thing is that if I did this and my book became a finalist between among thousands of books in the world, and I think that you can do anything, Wynn.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now I get to because Helen's book, as I said, Natalie caught a couple minutes of Helen's interview, and when it's ready to go, when Helen's interview is ready to go, I'll send Natalie the Full Fledged Podcast interview so she can listen to it from top to bottom. And Helen also said the same thing. She's very proud of her book because it's won awards too. And She Compass book has won awards in the San Francisco Bay Area, and the it's won awards, it's won book awards, it's won award from the San Francisco Town Hall on what she's doing too. And so I think you guys are on a mission of women's empowerment. And now, as a journalist, I get to say I have had award-winning book authors on my podcast, which is a real feather in my cap. I mean, who gets to say that? As a journalist, I've had award-winning book authors on my podcast. Not very many journalists.
Congratulations to Helen, and congratulations to you. It means that you are award-winning. For me, award-winning journalist.
Well, I will get
you,
to that.
You never
point.
Know. You never know. You never know.
Never know who's listening.
We never know.
To this podcast. Never know. And maybe, based off this podcast and the work I'm doing for my school, maybe someone will come calling and swipe me off my feet and in the journalism world and say, "We want you because we listened to both your podcasts, the one you were doing for your school, and we think you have the cutting edge of journalism. And if I don't get a job, you guys, I'm actually taking a class on how to design your career. And if I don't get a job, you guys, in a news establishment, this podcast and my books are not going anywhere. I'm just using my journalistic background / the journalistic teachings that I got in school to make this podcast even better and bigger and brighter and shine light on more people that need the light shine, that need the light put on them.
Yeah. And I say that we never know what tomorrow will bring, but the sun always shines next day, and every day I wake up with hope, and I think that you will have your chance, and you're having your chance. You're not just realizing it, but you're having your chance. This is your chance. You already started it. You're on the right path. When?
Already started it. I just had to start a podcast, then decide to go back to journalism school. And I hope you guys pick up Mask and throw in Helen's book. I hate to put the spotlight on someone else, but Helen's book, She Compass, is another women's empowerment book. I come a win. My book is a little bit more self-helpy, but if you want to throw all three books in together, be my guest. And this is a public service announcement. If you leave a review on all three books, again, She Compass, which is Helen's book, which you'll hear right before Natalie's interview, and Natalie's book, Masked, and then my book, I Come Will Win, my books, I should say, pick up any of them, I wouldn't be greatly appreciative. And then if you guys leave a review, that would help the Amazon algorithms get our books out there so that more eyeballs can see it. And even though Natalie's and Helen's award-winning books, it helps with marketing if you guys just leave a review on both books. And it incredibly helps with my book to leave a review on it too, so more people can see my books. And Natalie, have you considered putting your book on audio tape?
Yes.
Yes.
But I don't know how.
Well, it's your lucky day. It's your lucky day. After this phone call, I'm going to text you, and I'm going to set up another phone call with you to walk you through a very simple process that you now need to do, and we are going to get Mask on audio tape for you, because, yeah, a lot of publishers don't know how to do that. I know how to do that. I stumbled upon it, so now it's called ACX.com, you guys, and ACX is actually an Amazon-owned company and subsidiary of Amazon. And then all you have to do is claim your book, pick a narrator, and that's it. And you can either do a 50-50 split, which 50-50 split means you get a certain percentage, the narrator gets a certain percentage. And then I am actually interviewing the narrator for my latest book on this podcast. And so we're going to talk about audiobooks and how she does it. And so, or you can pay by hour to have the book finished. So after this, Natalie, you and I are going to have a little parallel about getting your book on audio tape. And I want you to tell your publisher I'm one step ahead of you to get my book on audio tape, because a lot of small self publishers won't do it.
Yeah. That's amazing. Because the other day somebody asked me, do you have it on audio tape? I said, no, I don't.
No.
And
no.
Now you're talking about it.
Yeah. Now you can tell them, okay, yes, I do. And what is it?
Amen to death.
Yeah. What you can tell them, I'm working on it with my friend who's a journalist who knows what she's doing, and I'm happy to teach anyone who's listening to this podcast who has a book who needs to get it out on audio tape, because what I'm coming to find out is that, and of course all my books are available on audio tape, what I'm coming to find out is the able-bodied like audio tapes as much as the disabled. And so that's why I did it. And I'm planning to teach people how to do it themselves on the audio, on their books.
Wow.
So
that's amazing.
We're going
so we have another call after this podcast. That's amazing.
We're going to have a little panel and get masks on audio tape, you guys. But please, 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 please help this one winning book out. And as Natalie said, she wrote it in her fourth language. Thank you very much. I can barely speak English, let alone four languages. And Natalie, I wish you the best of luck, and we'll be fast friends because we're both in the journalism field and we're not cookie cutter journalists. You're certainly not a cookie cutter journalist. And I just appreciate you and your support, and I appreciate your book, and I wish you the best of luck with your journey. And of course, anyone that wants to call me on that ACX thing is more than welcome to it. And we need to get these books out there, and anyone can write a book. If Natalie can do it in a fourth language, anyone can do it. And Natalie, what would be the closing statement of this podcast?
For me, I just want to say what I just wrote as the preface in my book, that society, tradition, and religion are rules, and they are urging us to wear a mask, and they repress our strength, courage, and passion. Try to emerge yourself from the crowd and surround yourself as a woman with the few who know your true self. Remove your mask and taste freedom. Remove it. Then you will have the chance to have absolute happiness in your life.
That is beautiful. That is
Thank
beautiful.
You.
And I, when the next book comes out, you come back, marching back up to ask when. And I'll tweet the next book just as we tweeted the first award-winning book. And are you going to publish it again with the same publisher? Or have you
decided? I still don't know. I'm just writing, and I have too much like promoting this book and writing the second book, and as a motivational speaker at Toastmasters. I mean, too much going. I didn't decide yet, to be honest. I mean, but they are very good. The company that I publish with, they are very good. But, of course, I'll be happy if somebody like a literary agent comes and pitches the story and says, leave everything to me, then I will be lucky. Otherwise, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the future will bring. But I will keep on writing as long as there are women in pain, women who have been suffering for years, emotional disabilities, and which is very hard, and I will always be their voices because they don't dare to speak up for themselves, so I will speak for them.
Be the voice for the voiceless. Hint, hint. That's my new mission in 2019/2020, to be the voice for the voiceless. And I have a secret projects going on that I can't announce quite yet because...
Come on. Don't say it.
Well,
it's just
okay,
between
okay,
you
okay,
and
okay,
me
okay,
and
okay.
all the okay. listeners. It's fine.
Okay. I did a podcast once with Sherman, and Sherman is now running for president in 2020. And Sherman is an incredible woman. Go back and find Sherman's episode, you guys. And her tagline is Trump's gonna get beaten by a girl. And I just met with her this morning, and we are going to have starting in June a weekly talk show about current events and maybe change Donald Trump's thinking just a little bit. And so I'll be on the campaign trail virtually watching this woman go into presidency, and I told her it's not about if she wins, it's about when she wins. And she just lit up like a Christmas tree when I told her that. And I said, you have a unique advantage. You have a journalist on your team with a different perspective. And so hopefully this will all work out. But I'm going to be on the political trail helping her get media coverage and helping her with whatever she needs. And so wish me luck on that one, because one of the things I try and stay away from is politics and religion. And so, and she promised me that with this little project that I wouldn't lose any subscribers. I'll probably gain more subscribers now that I'm on the political trail. But we all need to, my point being, we all need to help each other. And it would really be an honor for me to say that I know a presidential candidate in 2020. I'm also helping her with her political campaign. And she reached out to me, and the show's going to be called Winning with Win. And it's going to be a short segment between her and I. And so that's my latest project.
Yay! I told you you're going to be a winner. Didn't I tell you you have to remove fear, all this, and you're still fear?
Yeah.
Come on.
You're
blessed.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Well,
I'm so happy for you.
She approached me. I didn't approach her after that interview. I was like, do I really have to do another political interview? No, but when she approached me, Winning with Win came to together, and we did a video this morning to announce it. And I told my story politically too. And so when it's up and when it's together, you guys have to listen to this. And Sherman's a really interesting candidate, and I am really blessed to be on her team helping diverse women run for the presidency here in the United States, because we need to get journalists back on good light. We need to get women in office. We need to get female empowerment back on the stands. Natalie and I are doing our part. Sherman is doing her part too. And so that's my latest project, helping Sherman with her political run. And we need to get women's empowerment back on the forefront. We lost that in about, 2000, when Obama left office, which was 2016, he started leaving office. And so we need to get women's empowerment back, because right now it's a shit show. And journalism is just part of that shit show. And we need women's empowerment back in the front seat. Not to say that I don't love men, but men need to get taught by women just a little bit.
Let them give us a chance. They did.
Yep.
Now it's our turn.
Yep.
Look
exactly.
What happened to the world when they're gaining control. Now?
Yep.
Let them give us control.
Let them give us control. So I will keep you guys updated on the Sherman extravaganza, and I will make sure that you guys subscribe to all her stuff, and I will do what I can to get her media coverage. And Natalie, maybe you can help me with that. You're up in Canada, but us women journalists have to stick together, so maybe I can help me get this woman coverage, because you know you have a deep network just as much as I do. So the more women's empowerment we see, the better. And Natalie, I thank you for coming on Ask Win. I'm so sorry for a long episode to you guys, but Natalie is on her own mission of women's empowerment, and I want to help Natalie just as much, and I want to help you guys just as much, and I want to help Sherman run for president. And so I think women's empowerment is here to stay.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for this welcome. Thank you very much for this interview. And I'm very happy to be with you, Wynn, and I'm very proud for the achievements that you're doing. Don't ever stop. And congratulations for this new amazing task that you be on. It's a mission. It's a beautiful path. And as long as you have passion and as long as you do it with the right way and you use your conscience, I know that you're going to do great. And
well,
I'm
thank you.
For you. We're friends and we'll always stay in touch, of course.
Thank you for the vote of confidence. And I'll let you guys know what I need help with in Sherman's projects. And go back and listen to that interview. I knew it from day one. She was going to contact me, but then I kind of left it alone because she did a whole political dance on my podcast. And normally I don't do political dances. But then she came around and said, well, maybe Wynn should be in my corner. And so that's why. And she approached me. I didn't approach her. And so hopefully this will all work out. And I'm going to let you guys go. And you guys have an amazing day. And Natalie, thank you for coming on Ask Wynn.
Thank you.
And sharing your story. And we'll make this world a better place. You guys, thank you.
Thank you very much. And I wish everybody a wonderful evening. Thank you for listening to the podcast with Wynn. Thank you, Danielle, for all the effort. And I thank you from the depth of my heart, with all my heart, with everything that you just hold dear to your heart. Remember always that you are a dear person to me. And we haven't known each other for long, but you win are a winner. And
well, thank you, Natalie.
Your name fits you best.
Thank you. And I appreciate your support. Thanks. See you guys. Bye.